It is Sportsfeld for another week. And another week of, if you listen to last week's episode, what we talk about this week will seem like a logical extension of the conversation.
It's almost like it's a week later and there's more news.
Doing prep.
I love to have news.
As we mentioned last week, we talked about Mitch Marner possibly signing. Lo and behold.
The sequel to last week, if you will.
Mitch Marner signed for just about exactly what we said he might sign for, frankly.
We're pretty smart. We're pretty good at this.
The hockey brilliant men, they call us.
Yeah.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr., not great.
Yeah.
Quietly.
For the noise of Vlad, and we'll get into it, obviously.
Yes.
Weirdly quietly not great.
Yeah. Currently the third best rookie on the team, which is not what we want.
And, like, not by that much.
Correct. And we see the light at the end of the offseason tunnel. We're so close.
We're so close to being like, hey, do you guys want to come on our show and talk knowing things?
And we are
not there.
So happy to announce we have a new running thing.
Yeah. We're just adding them week by week now. It's great.
This is, you get TV and all of a sudden.
I need to stop spitting.
Shit lines up. We are announcing.
TV.
On TV.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
We're on YouTube. Sportsfeld's on YouTube.
That's true.
Sportsfeld is on YouTube. So you can watch us on YouTube. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you probably see a collection of cans in front of us.
I'm going to Vanna White this.
As opposed to just quietly drinking, like we used to do on this show.
Oh, get ready to hear some sipping.
Mm-hmm. We are introducing a new thing called Brewery of the Month.
Woo.
This month.
I feel like it needs some sort of
dun, 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 dun.
Drop. Yeah. Dylan, you want to give us a drop? Penalty.
He's got to be ready for that.
Sorry, I'm also watching Spurs.
Right. Before we get into Brewery of the Month, Jake is currently watching Spurs play a Champions League game. So if Jake...
I'm just going to be staring this way the whole time.
But we are not going to reproduce and rebroadcast it without express written consent.
Only implied oral consent.
That is correct. But anyway, Brewery of the Month. We're going to highlight some of the best breweries in Toronto. And if you want a brewery that you like featured on the show, reach out to us on Twitter and at the brewery so they know we exist. This month's brewery is Left Field Brewery. Thank you to Left Field Brewery. You probably know
Left Field Brewery.
Yeah, a lot of baseball-themed stuff. They have graciously given us three beers to sample. We are going to sample one every week for the next 3 weeks.
Is the one today.
A little info on Left Field Brewery. Their tap room and bottle shop is 36 Wagstaff Drive at Greenwood and Gerrard Street East. Open daily from 11 to 9, including most holidays. Family-friendly, dog-friendly food.
It's a great little bottle shop.
Love food trucks on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Otherwise, you can bring your own food anytime.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And it's, the dog-friendly thing. Every time I've gone to Left Field, there's just dogs. And
that's
great.
Awesome.
Who doesn't love hanging out with dogs drinking beer?
So we have a couple other beers we're going to get to later on in the month, but today's beer is If You Hear Any Noise. It's a 5%.
Brand new.
5% Black Forest Cake Sour. It's a dark sour beer with cocoa husks, cocoa nibs, sweet cherries, lactose, and vanilla. 1-0 Spurs. A little information to feel good about drinking this as you drink it. It's a collaboration with the Society of Beer Drinking Ladies, inspired by Dave Parker, who looks awesome. Baseball in the 70s looked amazing, like straight up. It's called If You Hear Any Noise. It's a Black Forest Cake Sour. 50 cents from every can you buy supports the Women's Foundation of Canada. And we are supporting them a dollar here.
It's definitely a sour.
Oh, that's delicious. Oh, my God. Okay.
I have to say, I'm not a big, as you well know,
because
I yell about it.
You do.
A lot. Not a big sour guy, but I could drink one of these.
That is a fantastic Black Forest Cake Sour. As
it
advertised.
It kind of tastes like a Black Forest
100%,
cake.
100%. That's a very good
weird.
Beer. I enjoy that a lot.
I have to say, as I've gotten older, like when I was younger, I was very much in that like, get your flavor out of my beer.
Right.
Like, no fruit in my beer. I'm garbage beer. Then I turned 20.
Very manly teenager you were.
Yeah, I'm Benjamin Button, but for manliness.
I've seen the photos. You were a strong young man.
The thing is, everyone's seen the photos and they know that's not true. But like, as I've gotten older and my palate has refined, I'm starting to not mind. I'm not a big sour guy, but I'm starting to not mind like experimenting with different flavors in my beer. Like the Left Field actually has the Pina Colada IPA.
Right.
It's fucking great.
We're going to get to a point where this show is us talking about beer, us talking about what freaks us out, a mailbag, and no sports at all.
I mean, I'm kind of fine with that.
We're getting there. Anyway, Left Field Brewery, as we said, 50 cents to every can of If You Hear Any Noise goes to the Canadian Women's Foundation. Collaboration with the Society of Beer Drinking Ladies. Left Field Brewery is this month's Brewery of the Month. The next two episodes, we'll be drinking two other of their brand new beers. If You Hear Any Noise, came out literally yesterday. So thank you to our friends at left field.
You could say this is an exclusive reveal.
Damn, where'd you find this?
Even though it's in their bottles. That was a great morning show shock jock.
Thank you.
I like that. That should also be
Trapaholics.com.
that should also be part of the Just Mailbag and Does This Freak You Out show. We're just shitty shock jocks.
Do a stupid, and we're back. Okay. But seriously though, sports. But first, sports.
Nah? But for that's what we call a plug.
Okay.
I love this too. But
this is so different.
So official.
This is so different than anything else. Okay.
Than your actual job.
Correct. We talked last week about Mitch Marner turning down. I think it was like 7 years of $11 million.
I believe so. Yes.
And I think we both said that's a little much. Mm-hmm. Luckily, he signed for a little less, 10.893, which is
exactly like we said,
basically 10.9, which is basically 11, but it's not. Mitch Marner, 6 years, 10.893. He'll be Maple Leaf for the next six seasons. I somewhat naively probably expected this to be cause for celebration because I'm.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, they signed a good player. What a disaster. Anyway, the Leafs fans were pissed generally, like for real. Very mad.
I've many thoughts on this.
Jake, go in, because last week you said $11 million is too much.
So, shockingly, I'm going to disagree with something I said last week.
That's the storytelling we do.
The more I think about it, and not even the more I think about it, like my immediate thought of the once the deal was signed, was the idea, especially for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the idea of they paid too much for a really good player, who cares? I get cap space.
For
that,
sure.
Get that. But like, who cares? I don't care where MLSE's billions of dollars are going.
Right.
Do you?
Like, they're $13 million over the cap, which I love.
Yeah. And you can't.
Because fuck you. They're the Maple Leafs.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that's the thing. There are so many contradicting annals of thought here of like, so you can't. Mitch Marner is an elite. Like, Leafs fans will yell about how Mitch Marner is an elite winger, like one of the top 10, 15 players in the league. But he's not worth this money, which doesn't make sense. Then you have the idea of, I'm tired of the Leafs rebuild is on track. I want to see them win and like really go for it.
Right.
And, Lucas Moura. Oh, what a shot.
Absolutely.
Everyone's favorite tiny fascist.
That was something.
Love cheering for bad people, you know?
It's the easiest thing to do in sports.
Anyway. Those kids are so nice. Anyways, yeah, so you can't say you want the Leafs to go for it and you want them to be the cup contender. And then when you see them spending $30 million above the cap being like, oof, our cap space though. Like it's I guess it can be a one or the other idea, but it's also not.
Right. What bothers me, and this comes from the school of baseball thought that is starting to leak into hockey, is the obsession, and the Jays are number one at this, but so are 45% of baseball teams. The obsession is surplus value.
Right. What can you get above your...
The idea is Mitch Marner is not going to outperform being $10.8 million player. To which my counterpoint is there are more important things than outperforming your contract. He just did outperform his contract by unbelievable... Like, he had 94 points last year making a rookie salary.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again. You have to accept that. I think, you know, this fucking city. There was a great job of all of a sudden everyone's like, well, Mitch isn't that good. Well, he led the fucking team in scoring in the last 2 years.
And
in
also,
two 100-point seasons.
Let's
be real.
What's Tavares' contract?
He makes $11 million.
So I know he's a center, and I know I said this last week that centers were valuable, which is still true, and I'm not changing
right.
that. But everyone last year was practically throwing a fucking parade that they paid John Tavares $11 million a year, who is older and scored less. Again, center, I get it.
Right.
But you have to pay to keep the talent.
The reason that I am not panicking about this.
It's because you're not a moron.
And like, if you were to come to me and say, the Leafs are paying three players more than $10 million, right?
Yeah.
I would say, I hope they're paying their best three players $10 million.
I hope it's Austin Matthews, John Tavares, and Mitch Marner.
And they are. And like, the problem with that NHL teams get into is they overpay guys who are 28, 29, 30. Mitch Marner at 22, this is not a risky investment. He's going to be fine. You're getting him from 22 to 28. If you're going to pay him $11 million for anything, you pay him for those 6 years.
Like, that's the thing. Like, would you, like, if you either, by not paying him this money, whether you think it's too much or not, this is clearly, judging by how the negotiations went, probably pretty close to what it was going to take to keep him.
Right.
So your choices are don't pay it and let him walk, in which case you lose a
this is the window.
One, yeah. Or B, you pay it and you deal with the layer. And also, like all the other big contracts they have, it's front loaded. So it's not even like if he does decline in 3-4 years, in the third or fourth year of this deal, his cap hit is only $7 million. So it's not, it's well structured to play exactly within the window, which is what we are asking sports teams to do literally all the time.
I think
it fucking blows my mind.
I know, because the team's been so bad for so long. And now that they have said we are going for it, we are trying to win the 2020 Stanley Cup. That is clear.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, well, it might fuck up the 2022 cap space. Like, what? Fuck off. Fuck off. Like, so much shit can happen between here and there.
And not only can so much, look at the team across the hall.
Right.
Look at the Toronto Raptors. They fucking traded their all-time franchise icon, arguably.
Yeah.
They went for it. Kawhi left.
The further we get from that, the more I'm like, so many teams would just be so cowardly and not do that.
Absolutely.
The Jays would never do that. The Leafs would never do that.
The Leafs might, but the fans would go fucking crazy. And right. The fans did go crazy when they traded DeMar for Kawhi. There were so many like, oh, I can't believe they traded DeMar. Kawhi's not even going to come here, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, he left and they won a fucking title.
Yeah.
So like, would you ask yourself as a Toronto sports fan, would you trade the absolute madness and glory and fun of the Raptors' entire title run, both the run itself and the aftermath of it, for what the Raptors' cap space and contract situation is now that Kawhi is gone and everyone's coming off the books next year?
Now, let's be clear. The defense is a concern.
Is it, though?
Cody Ceci's bad.
The defense is a concern because I don't trust Mike Babcock to play the right guy.
Right, and we don't know if Tyson Barrie is so much better than Jake Gardner. But
I think you can make a good, if your offense is what these guys have,
yeah.
I think you can make a good enough defensive core with Riley and Barrie and Muzzin and who's still here? Fuck Dermott when he's back.
Right.
If some of the younger guys come up, like I think.
And to me, that's not reason enough to make that a referendum on the knee on the Marner thing. If he was making, let's say he was making 9.8 instead of 10.8.
So you can pay a defenseman.
That $1 million doesn't make a difference.
Exactly.
Like,
and also, yeah. If you're going to make it a referendum on the Marner deal, then the team shouldn't be trying to compete or whatever. Like, because those are the options.
Right.
The options are they're trying to compete and they pay the money for Mitch Marner, or they're not because the defense isn't there, so they don't.
So if you want to look at it, your top six forwards, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, we'll take Andreas Johnson, we'll play Kasperi Kapanen, and we'll say Zach Hyman.
That's a good team.
Right. If there's anything that I trust the boy genius and Shanny and those guys to do, it's to fill out the bottom six with, like, because people talk about...
Look, and that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing about hockey, too. Like, people make a lot of noise about, especially in the analytics world, which I understand. And like, I'm not saying they're wrong, but they make a lot of noise about having to fill out the entire 12.
Right.
Can't do math. The entire, was it 24?
Yeah.
So, no. Oh my God, it's 12.
Well, that's just forwards. I thought you meant the whole team.
No, I meant forwards. Like the idea of like, you need your top six, but then you also need like, yeah, of course you need a good bottom six. You can get by with an average bottom six if your top six are loaded.
There's anything that they've proven they have a propensity to do, it's to scout talent, right? They maybe got out negotiated a little bit with these deals by $500,000 here and there, but they have shown that they can identify cheap talent and they can cycle them through the bottom of that lineup. And another thing that I think, you know, I saw people that were like, they sort of expected maybe Mitch takes this stupid notion of like a hometown discount or like a playing the cup discount. That shit is for the bottom. That is what you give to Jason Spezza. That's who takes hometown discount to win a cup.
Or if you want to take it to a larger scale, again, to compare it to the Raptors, that shit is for DeMar DeRozan when they're not challenging for a championship.
Right.
It doesn't have to be for bad players in bad situations. But it's not for challenging for the title this year. And it's just, I don't know. I know that Leaf fans are Leaf fans,
totally.
And they will find an issue. They'll win the cup and not enough games. You know what I mean? Like they'll find an issue in everything. But to me, the only way to find an issue in this is to completely contradict every argument you have ever made about this team for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. It's happening now.
This is the point.
Yes.
The point of...
We're here.
The point of being shit for 6 years to get Matthews, to get Marner, to get Riley, was this.
And keep them. Now,
and keep them.
That core that...
We have 6 years of these guys.
The six names that I just said that's the top six. That's the top six for at least the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Nobody, none of those guys are going anywhere. So, yeah, I think, and we come at this looking at it maybe as a bigger scope beyond just being Leafs fans, also being Jays fans and also being Raptors fans, and seeing both sides of the competing and non-competing and saying...
Like, we're not the only people who have those views.
100%. 100%. But, I guess our greater point is don't worry about fucking 2022.
Yeah. If the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup, I know everyone will care the fucking minute the thing is over.
Right.
But, don't.
That's right. I just, a little love for a team for actually fucking going for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's so easy to be a coward, and it's so easy to not be, to be risk averse and to not throw your money in the middle. And they paid to get a good player.
Not even a good player. Potentially a, top 10 player in the league. Mm. He had 90-plus points last year, and he's, 22, 23 years old.
Left field brewery.
The other last thing I will say on this is I'm curious, for the people who are, steadfastly against this deal, not even in the sense of, it's not great, but, whatever, it's fine. The people who are, this is terrible business and the Leafs fucked up and I hate it. If in the next two of the 3 years where they have these guys signed, if in those, if two of those 3 years, they win two cups.
Well, yeah.
No.
For sure.
For us, of course.
Yeah.
But for, if you're so steadfast against the money side of things.
I think everybody.
What is the goal here in sports? Is it to have your books balanced properly, or is it to win the fucking title?
Right. I agree. It becomes the cult of the front office, where people identify more with the front office guys and evaluating players than they do with the players themselves. Man, just not to run back to the beer for a second, but this to have a date they canned this. They canned this on September 17th.
Oh, that's yesterday.
Man, that's a good, that's cool.
That is fresh. Are these all candies?
Pretty close. Looks like it. We switch gears from a team that went for it to a team that is absolutely not going for it.
Toronto Blue Jays. What is the opposite of that?
Toronto Blue Jays, who appear to be able to avoid the fate of 100 losses.
Yeah.
They're at.
Well, that's why you get a series with Baltimore. So.
They play Baltimore 5 more times and they only need 2 more wins. So I like the chances. But the bigger thing here, and our friend Drew Fairservice, friend of the show, went on multiple times, wrote about this in his weekly mailbag about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The thing about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is he isn't playing well and hasn't played well for about a month, I would say.
Yeah.
And it, as much as we love, and we've done this, we have led this charge a little bit, I think. And you have especially. You like to remember many times he's 20 years old and playing in the major leagues, which is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yep, there's a but.
Capital B but. He looks, I don't know. You don't want to project. I don't want to project how I think he's feeling onto how he's feeling based on his body language. But he appears to not really give a shit. he's sort of giving away at bats and he's like, I flew out. It is what it is.
I
think
he definitely seems more invested in other people's accomplishments, which is
well, they're accomplishing things. It didn't take long. We're already there.
Yeah.
Have a season. What the fuck's wrong with this guy?
I mean, it's one thing to be what the fuck's wrong with this guy after season, another to be he's been bad.
It's concerning.
It's been bad enough for that question to actually be asked.
It's concerning,
I would say.
Because he hasn't been, listen, obviously his expectations were sky high, right?
Not even sky high. His expectations were
ridiculous.
If he met
generational hitter,
if he met those expectations, he's almost Mike Trout.
Right, and he's been somewhere between okay and not okay. He's been great for a week at a time here and there, but the bad stretch now stretches all the way back to mid August.
Yes,
and I think here's my theory on this because. Your guy, Kevin Biggio, yesterday hit for the cycle.
That was cool.
Congratulations, Kevin. He now has a higher OPS than Vlad, which is cool, but also not supposed to happen.
Yeah. And the Boba Fett of it all is definitely sort of dwarfing. Right. Obviously, it's sort of dwarfing both of them, but it's...
Yeah. So here's where I land on this. Bo plays with the chip on his shoulder. It's visible.
Yeah.
Bo knows that everybody is talking and thinking about Vladdy. And as such, he is out basically constantly to prove that he's as good, if not better. Whereas it appears that playing for a 95-loss team in the last 2 months of the season where nothing can really change, Vlad's like, yeah, I know. I know that I'm a very good hitter. I know that I'm not going anywhere. I know that I'm in the lineup.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I guess that's the encouraging thing in a way, because you saw it, I know it's obviously very different from games.
Yes.
But like you saw it in the home run derby. When it was like, oh, I have to step up for a challenge here? Okay, I'm going to be the best at this thing now.
Right.
Because I can.
So this is where I have questions and concerns.
Okay.
Because we saw in the last couple of years, Juan Soto and Big Ron, Ronald Acuna Jr. came in at Vlad's age as 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds and were among the best hitters in the league. Borderline MVP candidates, both of them. But, capital B but, they came into teams in playoff races. Good teams that played meaningful games at this point of the year. Do you think part of what's up with Vlad?
Shit.
Get that ball, too. That's halftime. Do you think part of what's up with Vlad is that he's playing, like, if they were, if let's say they weren't a 90 loss team, let's say they were the Rays and they were one game up in the second wild card. Do you still think Vlad is OPSing at like 735?
I'd like to think not.
Right.
I don't know. I will say that we talk, not to relate everything back to the Maple Leafs, but here we go.
Let's praise the two white players and talk about how the Dominican one isn't playing.
No, I said relating back to Maple Leafs, Maple Leafs fans.
His body language makes me upset.
No, but like, we said that. We talked, you and I.
He smiles while he loses. Bah.
Oh, no. He's having fun. You and I talked about the Maple Leafs in this room last year. And when everyone was sort of worrying in February, March, when they were just kind of coasting through, we were like, yeah, because they clinched their spot and they don't really give a shit. And then when the time comes, they'll turn it on.
Well,
I mean, they weren't bad. They lost, but but this isn't going to the playoffs and having to turn it on.
Right.
I can see, I think there is room for plausibility that a 20-year-old on a dog shit team who is so confident and assured of his skills could be not dogging it, but like maybe not giving, you know, the effort he would be if the games mattered.
Yeah.
I can see that argument being the case. That being said, A, I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Right.
And B, I'm not sure that that's an excuse, so to speak.
It's tough.
Not for me to,
I know.
Far be it for me to tell a fucking 20-year-old professional athlete.
And we don't want to be, we're not Jay's talk callers.
No, here. We're not trying to get a column in the Toronto Sun.
But
but you can't look at the numbers and not,
it is hard,
and not think
it's
about
hard
it.
Hard to not think that.
That being said,
because
again, right. That being said, you have the note here on our rundown. At what point does "but he's 20" stop outweighing the fact that Vlad's had two or three pretty bad months? There is an answer to that question.
When turns 21?
It's May.
Right.
The answer is May.
Right.
If he comes out the gate next year and he has and is like this bad, and again, bad for Vlad. Pardon the run.
He's a little bit over the average OPS, but
we've seen worse players on this team this year.
Yes, but he's a minus. The thing is, he's a minus defender, right?
Yes,
it's not outweighing. Anyway, go on.
But if you know, let's call it 2.5 weeks into May. So just for argument's sake, in 2021, 2020, what year is it?
Today is 2019.
Thank you. So halfway into May, 2020, if he's still not producing, then I think it's a cause for concern. And because I think you can't say that the Blue Jays losing, or I can't say, because I've said this, I can't say the Blue Jays losing 100 games doesn't matter because this year doesn't matter, and then be like, but Vlad.
Right.
Like, it doesn't work that way.
And I think part of us both being like, well, I think them being bad might have something to do with it, is the alternative is he's just not that good. Right?
Yeah.
I think I would.
And I also don't think that's the case.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not saying he's not, but I genuinely don't know because evaluating young athletes is fucking hard.
Right.
I don't know if he's the player he was hyped up to be.
Boy, he better be.
But I'm also, but I don't.
It would be great if he is.
I think there is equal. What I'm trying to say is, I think there is equal evidence to suggest that he is and that he's not.
Right.
That's what I would say.
I think that's good.
And I know that's kind of a cop out answer.
No, I know.
But
it's hard for us to know. Basically, all we can do is wait and see. But I think the concerns are worth voicing.
I agree, and I also think that, and maybe this is incorrect because I am not a sports psychologist and I do not understand the psyche of professional athletes. Mm. But I think there might be the Jose Bautista became excellent on teams that didn't matter.
Right.
As an older player who had kind of been around and had to prove it.
Fighting for an opportunity.
I wonder if there is a sort of equivalency to that with young players when it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? When it's like, okay, I will give it my all when it matters, as opposed to I need to prove myself at all costs that A, I can play, and B, that I am the fucking guy on this team, even though the team is shit.
That's, and I feel like that's, you sort of get that vibe from Bo.
Yeah.
Who is.
And I'm, and like all athletes have different.
For sure.
Psychologies. And I'm not even saying one is good and one is bad.
Right.
It's not a value judgment, but I think it's a valid thought process, especially for a guy who has been anointed as the next one for most of his life.
Yeah.
Who has been like guaranteed a roster spot for the last 2 years, basically. It's been like, when's Vlad in here so we can play third base?
It'll be a lot easier.
Should he be third baseman is another conversation I'm not ready to have.
Yeah. Well, you're hoping he outweighs it with his performance.
But yeah.
So far, he has not done that. Anyway, which isn't to say he's not fucking light years better than Brandon Drury, which he is, right?
Yeah.
I think that is to sort of dance around a bunch of different angles of the same thing. He's been the third. He hasn't been great, but he's still way better than fucking Billy McKinney.
Yeah.
Right. He's still been way better than Brandon Drury.
Which, and I understand.
He's still been better than.
Which is not the expectation and not what you need from him.
Correct.
But he is.
It's not.
Factually, he's a better player.
Yeah. He's been. He hasn't been an MVP candidate, and he hasn't been like a top 50 player in the league.
No, but again.
He's also not like the reason that they lost. They're going to lose 100 games. It's not on him.
And again, I don't think it matters.
Yes.
This year doesn't matter. Everyone pretty much agrees that this year doesn't matter. And that has to apply to all things. Would I feel better and more encouraged about next season if Vlad was fucking going off? Of course. But does it make me go, well, I guess we're fucked next year? Like, no, not yet. We'll see.
Right. Okay. We have a bunch of this stuff. We have a little miscellaneous. What do you like here? We have Steph Curry wearing a box and one hoodie. We have Parade Marc Gasol. We have Virtuan Moyer retired, which you probably thought had already happened.
For sure.
Me too. And Serge Ibaka turned 38 today.
Oh, happy birthday, Serge.
Serge, who is perpetually 36 and perpetually 26.
Yes.
You could have told me any age.
I thought, how old is he now? 20.
He turned 30 today.
Turned 30. I thought he was 27.
Okay.
Fully thought he was 27 all year.
We were talking to Sean about this, and he's like, it sort of has that Ricky Rubio vibe. I was like,
oh, I think Rubio's 42.
He could be 42. And like, oh, he turned 28. I was like, what? What do you like there?
Let's just go in order. Why not?
Steph Curry box and one hoodie.
Living rent free inside the MVP's head. I love it. Unless it means like he thinks it's great because he's good, then they had to do it.
Yeah, but like.
But like, fuck him.
It was the thing that stopped you from winning the title.
Yeah. If you think it's Bush League basketball, then you should have.
Easily scored on
it. Aren't you supposed to be the greatest point guard of all time or whatever? Then you should have won.
Well, he's scared of Fred VanVleet. So yeah. That'll do weird things to your head.
And Nick Nurse, apparently.
Parade Marc Gasol, the GOAT.
Always fun.
Shout out to Spain. As we are, not many people, I think, out there are as high on Marc Gasol as we are
so
in the world.
Tank.
I love Marc. A passing big man. Make it happen.
I'm in the tank with Marc Gasol to the point where, like,
let him be point guard next year.
I've said to myself multiple times, I've said to myself, I know we lost Kawhi, but Marc Gasol's here.
Marc Gasol!
Everyone forgets that Marc Gasol's
start him. Go Twin Tower.
He's gonna develop Pascal so well.
Oh, yeah. Marc Gasol.
Yeah. I'm all aboard the Marc Gasol train.
You won't
in all forms.
You won't find many people higher on Marc Gasol than we are.
It's true.
It's just, I've been waiting my whole life to watch a big man play like that.
And we've specifically Marc Gasol, as Raptor fans, specifically Marc Gasol.
Correct.
We've been trying to get him for 10
years.
That's
right. It's the Blue Jays are interested in Jay Bruce.
Yeah, NBA exactly.
Virtuan Moyer retired last night around 12:15.
Nothing against them. I genuinely thought they retired after the last Olympics.
For sure.
Wasn't that the whole thing? It was their farewell Olympics?
I mean, it was.
I guess there's other competitions.
It ended up being their farewell
Olympics. I guess there's other competitions we don't pay attention to.
We wish them the best.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot more to say about that.
I do think I will say, the only thing I will say about that is I think it's interesting how Canada has its like fringe sport athletes of the moment a right. lot, which I get. You win and that happens. I understand like how and why. But like we're seeing with Bianca right now, obviously it was Virtue Moore for the Olympics, which again, I get it. It's the Olympics, but it's just.
Penny Oleksiak.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just find it interesting.
And we should issue a note before we move on. Last week's mailbag, we talked about individual Canadian moments.
Yeah.
Bianca Andreescu, we talked about. She's up there with Villeneuve and Penny. And Donovan Bailey got brought up. We forgot Donovan
Bailey. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That's a good one.
He's right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, and we talked about Serge Ibaka turned 30.
Yeah.
The Raptors' big man in the news.
I mean, I hope we keep all the guys through the year that are up. But I'm excited for another year of How Hungry Are You?
One of my favorite things about the Raptors winning the title is we can all just like enjoy Serge Ibaka. Because remember, like before that, it was like, oh, Serge. Like when Serge is bad, I fucking hate. Like,
yeah,
he was like, he became. Remember JV Hive, where it was like you either you love Valanciunas
or you hated him,
or everything that's wrong with the team is him. He sort of had that, like when Serge is playing poorly, he's the one who takes all the heat. And now it's like, Serge is fucking great.
Yeah,
he's just cool to.
Well, and I think the fact he had some big performances in the playoffs doesn't hurt that.
Certainly correct.
And I also think on sort of on that note, I was thinking about this yesterday.
He looked like Kawhi's best friend.
Obviously, I wish Kawhi had stayed.
Right.
Unquestionably. But man, how excited are you for a fun Raptor season of not having every fucking game be? What does this mean for Kawhi?
It's going to be great. I think it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be fun.
I think
it's a result. Results don't really matter, which is nice.
The closer we get to it, the more I'm like, I remember at one point on this show, I was like, I think I'm curious to see how long that patience lasts. But now I'm like, I think people are just going to really enjoy seeing the guys that were on the team last year and seeing development and underrated that I hadn't considered. That we will get into when the season starts and we get closer to preseason, but like they're gonna have a chip on their shoulder. I sort of hadn't thought about.
For sure they are.
Like a huge one. Because
they won the title, and everyone's counting them out already.
Right. People think they're like a 5 seed.
Yeah. For sure they are.
And this team before they had Kawhi was like they won the East.
Yeah. They had DeMar, but stopping over Marc Gasol, who's
now they have Pascal, who's a top 25 player as a floor.
Yeah. And Marc Gasol.
And Marc fucking Gasol. Anyway, that is it for the sports. We're gonna be You know what we're going to do.
You know what we're going to do.
We're going to do Does This Freak You Out, Match of the Week, Song of the Week, and the Mailbag is after this. And it's time to get into the fun parts. Our very quick, people looking forward to our sports takes less and less, I feel.
You know, I just had a question of.
Please.
What are they with our little YouTube thing?
What do you mean?
What's the when we're in our interstitials there in the breaks? Do they cut it or?
Oh my god! Way to secretly say that you don't watch them on YouTube. I know the answer to that because I watch them on YouTube.
Who has the time? Other than all these new people who should.
We went over that. We went over this last time, right? Where you don't listen to the show or watch.
I don't like listening to my voice. It's not because of the show.
Right.
It's because I hate myself.
I'm not going to answer that for you.
It's fair. It's a totally fair answer.
Melissa and I watch the show Thursday morning
for
breakfast. She's a great supporter. I love her so much. Anyway, match of the week, song of the week. Does this freak you out? Jake, would you like to go first with your song of the week?
Sure. My song of the week is a song called Separate Songs by a band called Restorations. It's not a new song, but because I'm a fucking loser, it's 2019. So when I make my year-end music list, this year, I get to make my end of the decade list as well,
which is fun.
I've just been thinking about, you know, my little things I like here and there.
You're ahead of the game in month 9.
I am. Buddy, it's for a list that nobody reads. That's purely for my benefit.
No, there's engagement. People engage.
Yeah, Matt Ross.
You don't need to say Matt Ross's name like that.
Oh, I love Matt Ross. No, I love Matt Ross. I just mean like he's the one guy who engages me.
Lambert's there usually.
Sometimes. He's just telling me I'm wrong.
Right.
Lambert's just like, fuck you, your taste is bad. which fair.
Grindcore.
But
I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that means.
But no, it's I realized that this song is probably like top one or two favorite song of the decade.
Jeez.
Listened to it again last night and listened to it a while and I was like, man, this song fucking rules.
Wow.
So yeah, separate songs, Restorations. Also, Restorations are just a great band.
There you go.
Philly. Shout out to Philly.
I'm going to go with match of the week is it's a SmackDown match. It's the King of the Ring final. It's Baron Corbin against Chad Gable. Not SmackDown, it was Raw, pardon me. But a rare sort of Raw. It was the King of the Ring 2019 ended up being an underrated tournament to showcase some of the underrated workers. And it took Baron Corbin from a fucking loser who dresses like a waiter into a guy that actually has like decent matches and can be a
dresses
top heel.
Like a waiter.
It was brutal. They had him in a vest and slacks. He looked so dumb. Looked
just like a vest and slacks? Because that's not a waiter.
Of course. It was like with like a black dress shirt underneath.
Oh, okay.
He looked like a host at a restaurant. It was ridiculous.
What an odd persona for wrestling.
It was really dumb. Sometimes guys get into really stupid shit.
Hmm.
But he overcame it. A good pick. That's sort of traditionally what King of the Ring is for, is to get guys like him over. So, you know, I like Chad Gable. He's a great fighting from underneath, sort of baby face, traditional old school. He does a great job in the match. Corbin is your new King of the Ring, which I think most people knew was going to happen anyway. But
was he like the
you know, when you watch thing? When you watch wrestling, you should be able to figure out what's going to happen most of the time.
That's fair.
But he did very well, and I was impressed. And what started out as, oh, Corbin's going to win as an eye roll thing, turned it into like, he's going to win and he deserved it. So a well done thing. And now, Jake.
Everyone's favorite.
I ask you, does this freak you out?
Probably.
Maybe you already saw this. This is from The Mirror. By the way, if you need like weird, The Mirror is the place to go. A couple years ago, December 2017, some footage came out. It was United States Navy footage.
Yeah. Okay. I know where you're going with
of
this.
Of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
The first video is 2004. And the second and third videos were recorded on the same day in 2015. F-18s took this video.
I think I remember the video you're talking about.
Correct. And on the video, you see like a pill, you see pill shaped.
Yep. Out the window.
And you hear the pilots saying, what the fuck am I looking at? Horrified. Navy pilots, F-18 pilots are like, what the fuck is that? This week, the Pentagon.
Oh, there's more to this.
The Pentagon confirmed two things. One, they never meant to leak those videos. And two, those videos are real. Jake, does that freak you out?
Yes and no.
Okay. Some pilots said the craft could go invisible when they were next to them. The U.S. Navy spokesman confirmed the sightings as genuine on Tuesday. The Navy has not publicly released characterizations or descriptions, nor released hypotheses or conclusions in regard to the objects. Unidentified aerial phenomena terminology is being used because it provides the basic descriptor that have been used and observed operating in airspace of various military-controlled training ranges. In June, three U.S. senators were reportedly briefed by the Pentagon about recent reports detailing UFO sightings by Navy pilots.
Okay, so I'm going to expand on my yes or no answer.
Yes.
The yes part of that is that I don't like the fact that the decisions for these kind of things is being done by the current U.S. government.
Yes.
I don't trust that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Any U.S. government, really, especially this one.
Right.
This one's especially bad because, like, they can't even figure out how to fucking use a phone. And now we're like, oh, yeah, let's trust the existence of aliens, these fucking morons. Don't care for that. The no part is no, it doesn't freak me out because I think aliens are real. And, like, I don't know.
Fucking with the Air Force.
Wouldn't you just like, I don't know, maybe they hate cops. That'd be fun.
Hey, our brothers.
But no.
Welcome to the resistance, aliens.
I mean, like, yeah, obviously the idea of aliens is kind of freaky because it's just such an unknown.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, of course there's fucking aliens. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not convinced they're necessarily fully intelligent life with spacecraft.
Well,
I don't know what these things are.
The craft were described as solid, white, smooth, with no edges.
So here's the thing that I think. I feel like if there are aliens and they have things like spacecraft, mm-hmm. it's not going to be like within our, get in.
3-1.
Oh, offside, fuck off.
2-1.
Var that shit. I don't think aliens are going to be like recognizable in our perspective.
Okay.
Because it's going to be a foreign entity, right? It's not going to be something we've drawn up in books or shot movies. I could be entirely wrong, but that's my theory. Also, oh, he's offside. If you believe that aliens don't exist somewhere in the vast many universes, you're an idiot.
Okay.
Because it's naive to think that we are the only intelligent life anywhere. So, you know what? Our world is so fucking trash. And like, we're probably dead soon anyway. Bring on the aliens. Maybe they'll be nice. Maybe they won't try to kill us.
I like this. Our first no. That does not really freak you out.
That being said, the second that they like show up for real, I will be absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I can see you, you know, this enormous, white, smooth, no edges, elongated Tic Tac flies by your window and you're like, yeah, it's aliens. Oh, that's aliens.
The day that it's like on CNN, like it's on CNN and it's like aliens confirmed, like we have pictures of these ships close up, then I'm
New York Times
shitting myself. Yeah, New York Times employs Brett Stevens.
The failing like New York fucking, Times. Yeah.
Fucking morons.
That's funny you mentioned that, like the day that it's on the news.
Like it's funny that that's my now, like I know. In 2019, that's my confirmation.
I know, but like feels like that's not a crazy thing anymore, doesn't it?
No, but like
I remember being a kid and being like that had never happened. And now I feel like if I woke up a week from now and on the news was like, oh shit, there's a, like legitimately we can prove there is an alien spaceship above Washington, D.C., I'd be like, yeah.
Totally. Absolutely.
That's in the wheelhouse of things that almost seems likely.
It's also been, I feel like also one of the things.
Sickeningly, you know what? Sickeningly, this is sickening to your first point about this whole thing about the government. If that happened, if I woke up tomorrow and it was like, oh, today's top story, aliens hovering above U.S., looking to make contact, my first thought would be, what is this covering up? What's the sickening thing that we're not hearing about?
My first thought would be,
because this is the news.
I will say, if aliens are going to show up, boy, I hope they wait till 2021.
For the
just sports? Not these fucking...
What is it about?
I don't want aliens showing up when these fucking goobers are in charge.
Oh, well, I get bad news for you. It's just going to be other goobers in charge.
Yeah, but they can be slightly better goobers.
I don't know. I hope that's true.
Fair. But I will say one of the things that I mean, many things. This actually really isn't that high up on the list. Fuck off. That's not.
That's a pen? Oh, no.
Shit.
Drama.
That this current sort of last 2.5 years of fake news and
right.
These dipshits in charge. It's ruined that like old thing of like there'd be something on the news and everyone was watching it and right. You'd watch it all night.
Mythos. I was actually, Melissa and I this week had a great.
Oh, that's.
We were talking
that's about. That's ticky-tack shit.
We were talking about just sort of like watching the news and history. We, you know, talking about like the great, just like that, the things that everyone gathers around the news for. We talked about where we were at 9/11. We talked about Sandy Hook, gun control. We really had a really great long conversation about it. And then I sort of, in our conversation, came to realization, and we talked about it, is how fucking weird it is that like when we look at like history, right, our recent history, everyone in the world in North America now is just sort of like, and since 2016, everything's been fucked. And like we all just like, it's been fucked since then. And like, that's just it. There's news that happened, like this thing happened and this thing happened, and this thing happened. And then we go, and everything since then has been just like fucked. And we don't really know.
Well, because there's
how do you keep track?
Because that's it. There's monumental things that would have held our attention for weeks.
Yeah.
Every hour now.
They've,
there was a House Oversight Committee with fucking Corey Lewandowski about corruption yesterday.
Yeah. We've gotten to the point where people like me.
Brett Kavanaugh came back into the news for being an abuser this week.
I just stopped.
And everyone's just like, well, he's in the court now.
I just stopped learning the names. I just like, I don't just even know.
Bad me. White man.
Well, I
four.
Just like, how much do I, like, I don't have time to worry about every fucking, which is sick, which is the whole problem, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole problem.
I get it though. You get like.
He's done it. It's 2-2.
You get like brain rot reading it too much, and you just feel sick and want to go home.
Give me some dumb sports, and we will.
Yeah.
We move on. Mailbag time, baby.
Yay.
First question comes from Akmedo. This is a bit of a weird one. This is a would you rather, if you will.
Ooh.
Would you rather, and I, these things aren't connected at all, which makes it a weird would you rather, but I respect it. What's a better idea? Temperature adjustable clothes. So if it's too hot, you can make it cooler. Or an agent who goes into your year-end reviews at work and negotiates raises and promotions.
Well, I'm self-employed, so one doesn't apply to me, but I'll take it as a hypothetical as if I was.
You have an agent.
Also true.
You already have that.
Yeah. And
would you rather have performance reviews? Would you rather have the agent you already have or temperature adjustable clothes? Do you mean like zip off shorts?
I think he means like you have like a button and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know, I guess. I will say, as someone who is currently feeling the sweat on my stomach going down my body.
Very graphic.
I just got to give the people, I want to paint the picture. Temperature adjustable clothes don't sound terrible.
I don't see a need for that. For me, it's...
Have you ever, like, if you're, like, on your laptop and it's getting really warm in your lap, then you up the fan speed and it gets cold? It feels fucking great. I'm not going to lie. It feels really good. Way better than it should.
Yeah. I mean...
But, like, probably the thing that makes my, like, well-being and financial security better is probably my answer.
I guess the worry about the agent is they can come in and look at your negotiations and be like, you're lucky to be making what you're making. Dial it back.
Yeah.
I'd keep your head down at work if I were you.
But, I mean, like, I think the answer is probably the thing that, like, you know...
It's the agent. For me, it's the agent.
I'll afford food.
I need somebody that can...
I don't trust myself.
Justify the fact that I make money, because it's a little silly sometimes.
Man, remember when I got made money to... paid money to write about sports?
Just vaguely.
Stupid thing that was for someone to do.
Will asks us, what's your favorite non-homophobic chicken sandwich, which is in the city, which is based on the fact that I believe Chick-fil-A is open in Toronto?
Correct. So I have a couple things to say on this. One, the fact that in Toronto, a known, like, excellent cuisine city.
Yeah.
People are lining up around the block.
It's not going to last.
It's not, but like...
Remember when was it Carl's Jr. or something?
Did people line up around the block for that though?
For like 2 days and then it closed and it's already gone.
Oh, it's been gone for a while. The thing with
that's
the
what happens here.
Like I just but like
was it a Carl's Jr.? I don't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, there was. It was on Queen West.
Right.
In the old HMV there.
It's the perfect Queen West place.
The thing with the Chick-fil-A thing that I don't get is like there's to Will's point, there are so many good chicken sandwiches in this city and you want to line up for the fucking one run by the shitty people that, I mean, like, it's a, like, chain restaurants, they're all run by shitty people, right. But, like, I don't know, I don't get the need that people have to, like, I went to Chick-fil-A in Toronto.
Well,
like,
you want the photo of the sandwich.
I guess.
Anyway,
to
answer the question.
To answer the question, the answer is PG Cluck's.
Yes, it is.
Any of their sandwiches.
With the honey jalapeno? Oh,
man, they put a lot of jalapenos on that thing.
Forget about it.
I like their Nashville hot one. Like they're just tossed hot ones as well. But yeah, the honey jalapeno is great. Also, Porchetta & Co. makes a great chicken sandwich.
Hey, I love Porchetta & Co.
The hot chicken sandwich from Porchetta & Co. is pretty great.
Sean and Clay can, that's the next, after brewery week.
Oh,
brewery month,
you want to get Porchetta? Just give us heart attacks on the fucking, be great.
I go there about once a month. It's near my office.
Why have I not been sitting back here? This is so much better for
me. I just figured out as well. Yeah. This is a dream.
This is better for both TV and for people watching on TV.
Yeah. We lose the illusion that we're looking each other in the face.
But we have these flexible microphones now, so it's great.
Jay Nielsen asks us, what's the best and worst named cities in Ontario? Cities and towns.
The worst or best, depending on how you look at it.
I'm going to go with worst, based on what you're about to say.
Is Swastika, Ontario.
Yeah, that's not best.
Which is in the process of being renamed, I believe.
I would certainly hope so.
It's up by North Bay. I saw it the first time a couple years ago when I was on a bus up North Bay. And I was like, huh, it's name of a town.
Not great.
No.
I think it's funny.
I think it's probably not like named after a swastika. Like, I think it's...
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up, but it's... It's definitely not a town that I'd want to be like, where are you from? It's like, swastika.
Wouldn't want to put it on an address, on a mail. Letter.
No. I wonder what their town slogan is.
The town slogan is probably like, no, not like that.
Not that one.
Welcome to Swastika, Ontario. No, not that. I've always thought it's hilarious that in southwestern Ontario, you can drive from London to Paris to Hamburg.
Hmm.
And it's like, you're just like three just garbage places. Like, London's passable.
Is it?
I
I am officially saying good things
about London out loud. It's given me some important things in my life. How about that?
That's fair. There you go. Swastika Ontario is named after the Swastika gold mine staked in the autumn of 1907.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, not that one.
I mean, that's just close. We're going to give you just enough. Okay. Zancy asks us, if you could freeze time for 1 year, when would you do it and what would you do? I don't know if I exactly understand what's being asked of me here.
Does it mean freeze time in the sense of like everyone else is also frozen?
I don't know. Because my instinct is
because that seems lonely and horrible.
My instinct here is going to sound super earnest and super corny. But
yeah, baby.
I am so excited about the near future of my life that the idea of not just moving forward for the next little bit, like I would rather have the time go and go and like, because I have so much stuff on the go and so many things in coming up in the next year that the idea of pausing time now seems foolish.
So are we going with pausing time is the idea of like the world keeps like things are moving, things are happening, but you're just stuck in this one moment for a year?
Is that the idea? Based on the wording of the question, I think it is like everybody else freezes and you have like a year to do whatever you want. I think
it sounds horrible.
I really feel like you'd get bored of that.
It's so lonely.
After about 6 hours, you'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, I think,
so much of what I do is based on the presence of other people.
Correct. You'd do a bunch of stuff, you'd eat, and then you'd, I don't know, like jack off. And then you'd be like, well, there's no sports to watch, and I got nothing to do.
If we're talking, if the idea of it, though, is like freeze time, but everything's sort of moving, and you just get to stay stuck in a moment for a year, the answer is that a year is not long enough.
Ah.
Because if you're going to freeze, like, if you're going to freeze time to actually, like, do things and, like, change the course of things, I feel like you need, like, longer than a year.
All my past years are worse than this year.
That's what you're like. People are like, oh, I'd go back to being like 21. Like, meh.
No.
21 wasn't fun.
Awful.
21 sucked ass.
Back to being even more insufferable than I already am. That sounds
great. When I was super, even more pretentious and also incredibly sad.
Yeah.
Let's go back to all those times that I wanted to just like drink alone for hours and cry myself to sleep.
I don't want to underrate how much my life has improved in the last 3 years.
Go back to the time before I went to therapy. No, thank you.
So that's too bad. On paper, that seemed like a good one, but it is hard to
look. I think it's a good question for not us, if that makes sense.
Maybe an older version of this show.
Yeah.
We would say.
It's like season one.
I'll pause the moment I get happy so it lasts forever. Not how happiness works. Sean Woodley asks, what's the best whale?
This is
targeted towards me, obviously.
Just for reference, if you don't follow Twitter. After we got off the air last week.
I did rant for about 15 minutes.
Zoob's rants for 15 minutes about how much he hates whales.
No, it's not that I hate. I'm horrified of whales.
Okay.
It's not that I hate them.
I don't like that sub.
I'm horrified about whales. They are living contradictions. They live in the ocean, but they breathe the air. They are mammals that live in the water. They are like the point that I raised that I think I convinced Clayton about how fucked up whales are. And I work also were like, that's a good point. The blue whale, the largest living mammal on the planet, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm fucking breaking my mic.
Eats microscopic krill. That's all it eats, right?
Sure.
How much krill would it take to make you full?
I don't know. How big are krill?
Microscopic.
Probably a lot.
Then. Right. So, and you're not big.
No, I'm a very small person.
So
I'm a small person. So not even a small whale. Right.
Try to imagine how much krill that is. It's like, it doesn't make any sense that something that big would eat something so small and how much of it would have to eat to survive. Anyway, the answer to this, what the best whale is the orca.
Orcas are cute.
The wolf of the sea. That's what they are. Look it up.
Really?
They hunt in packs. They are.
Aren't they just baby whales? Isn't that what an orca is?
Oh, an orca's a killer whale.
Orca's a killer whale?
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I don't know. I thought they were like the cute little babies. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
It could just be I don't know what orcas are.
Sounds like you don't know what orcas are.
Let's do a little.
Orca's a killer whale. That's.
Huh.
There's no second thing that an orca is.
Oh, it's. Yep, killer whale.
I know. I don't know what you're thinking of.
Oh, it's in the oceanic dolphin family. That's cute.
Yeah. Dolphins are also fucked, sneakily. But.
They're too smart.
Correct. Or, yeah. The answer is the orca because they hunt in packs. They learn really quickly.
They're highly social, though.
They are highly social.
Oh, but with each other, probably not. Correct. With, like, human beings.
Because they, like, if you've ever seen what, Frozen Planet documentary?
I haven't.
There's like a sequence where they show
wild kyrawaras are not considered a threat to humans, though.
Right, but ones in captivity will kill you for
well,
fun.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Which again,
we discussed last week. Every animal in captivity should try to kill the
human. They should all be doing. Every day.
Every single one.
I can't think of a job stupider and crazier than the person that goes, oh, I'm jumping in the killer whale tank today. What? What are you doing? You couldn't pay me enough. I would quite literally need to make $10 million a year to do that.
This edition of Does This Freak You Out is just, no, we're going to do one with, I'm going to find a whale fact for you.
Yeah, you should. I watch whale documentaries and stuff like this obsessively, especially orcas, because as I said, the Frozen Planet documentary, there's a segment where a seal is caught on an ice floe. And over the course of 15 minutes, which I'm sure in shooting was probably like 2 hours, they show a pod of four killer whales like slowly figuring out how to get the seal off the ice. It's fucking wild. They bob straight up and down and you just to like look at what they're doing. They go under and then they bob up again and look and like, okay. Yeah, okay. And they do it 3 or 4 times and then they swim in a row of four and all go up and under at the same time and create a huge wave to knock the seal off the ice.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Horrifying.
But like they figured
it's begrudging respect.
That's fair.
It's a fearful respect. Yeah, and they, as we said, they are not considered a threat to humans, correct?
Yeah.
If they decided to be,
sure,
they could easily become a threat to humans. The killer whales will skim themselves up onto the shallows and pick off seals that are sitting on the shore.
We got guns and bombs.
And then chuck them into the deep ocean.
If they decide to be, I feel like they should, like maybe they should win. Maybe the whales should win. Maybe that's the secret of all this.
That'd be something.
Maybe that's the thesis I'm coming up with today.
That's how I'm probably going
to
die.
Leave the world to the whales. How mad would you be if you... If you could get to like review your death after you died, how mad would you be if your death was due to a whale?
Probably shrug it. I'd be like, yeah, seems about right. I'd be like, yeah, told you.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, obviously.
You're like, you're vindicated finally. Yeah,
I think the most justified death for most people would be to be killed by chickens.
Yeah.
Consider how many you
take. Man, we eat so, I was thinking this the other day. We eat so many chickens.
Yeah. You, like, each
me
of us.
Me alone. Me alone.
Each of us alone is probably responsible for, like, hundreds of thousands of chickens dying.
I was a vegetarian for eight.
Oh, too bad.
I was a vegetarian for 8 years, and I've still eaten so many chickens.
You made it up for the lost time. And our final question comes from Cassie. The question is, are you a Trixie or a Katya?
Thanks for the question, Cassie.
Of course. Thanks for everything, Cassie.
Yeah, also true. I'd be so lost without Cassie. Speaking of not wanting to pause time. Whatever. You were saying the same fucking thing.
That's a good aw.
Oh, right.
Aws are good. You're in the point of your life where aw is what you're looking for.
That's, yeah, that's accurate. I'm definitely a Katya. I don't know if I'm weird enough. Trixie's kind of a dick too, which.
I ask you, am I a Trixie or a Katya?
I don't think you're either, really.
Damn. Am I a Bob?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I would say you're a Bob.
That's good. I aspire.
I think I feel like a Katya, but I'm probably a Trixie because I'm like not that good at things I've succeeded at in my life before. But Katya's way too like good at things.
Okay.
I think.
And that's it for the mailbag. We have one more thing to do.
Cassie is a Katya for the record.
Cassie is a Katya. That makes sense. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And that's a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's it. One last thing to do, and that is to answer the question. The greatest question of our time, whether we are sad or not sad. We will do that after this. And we are back. And just a reminder, today's the first day of our Brewery of the Month, where we highlight some of the best breweries in Toronto and further if someone wants to do it. This month is Left Field Brewery. And throughout the course of today's episode, we drank. If you hear any noise, a Black Forest Cake Sour, dark sour beer with cocoa husk, cocoa nibs, sweet cherries, lactose, and vanilla in collaboration with the Society of Beer Drinking Ladies, inspired by Dave Parker of the Pittsburgh Pirates. 50 cents from every can goes to the Canadian Women's Foundation. It's a brand new beer. As we mentioned, this was literally canned yesterday. I am finished mine. Jake, what did you think?
I liked it. I liked it.
Really good.
I'm going to admit, I liked it more than I thought I would because I don't like sours. But
really good.
I definitely don't know if it's a beer I could drink like
sours. You want one, maybe two.
Yeah. I do appreciate though that, and like, obviously this is intentional because it is September, but I appreciate, and I'm impressed that this is a, like, it's not a, I would not consider this a summer sour.
Yes.
I would not drink this at a cottage or a dock, which I think is a nice, I don't know enough about sours, so know if that's like a, a new thing or not, but from what the ones I've had, that's a nice like evolution of the sour, I think, to have a, to have a sour, if you like sours, that you can drink in the colder months.
A really beautiful beer, beautiful packaging, a good cause, Canadian Women's Foundation. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to be drinking two more of the Left Field Breweries. We're going to be drinking the Big Train, zero IBU IPA.
I'm so excited for that. Oh my God.
It's an autumn seasonable. It's in the LCBO, hits shelves this week. And the Glorioso Italian Pilsner, which is a rotating offering. It's in the shop for a limited time. So we're going to drink those in the next 2 weeks. Thank you very much, Left Field Brewery, for being the first of our Brewery of the Month, a recurring segment that
I'm
looking
for. The monitor is very confusing. It's different directions than real life, and it's, I'm not good. I was trying to show off the beers.
Pretty good start.
Fucked it up.
Pretty good start. I have faith in, anyway, the question of the day is, are we sad or not sad? I will go first. I am not sad, as you probably saw if you follow me. If you listen to the show, you probably follow me. But for sports,
imagine if they didn't.
Has launched. I don't know.
It's like, who the fuck is this guy?
I don't know how anybody could listen to anything I do and not already follow me on Twitter. But if you do, kudos. But First Sports has launched for Yahoo Sports Canada. It's a daily podcast every single morning between 12 and 15 minutes. It's been a lot of work and I have been demoing it all summer. I think I did 25 episodes that no one will ever hear.
Beast mode.
Yesterday was Marshawn Lynch, I guess you, I would say, because this is going out tomorrow. Marshawn Lynch, Pat McAfee, a lot of guests on the way, interviewed people like Master P. I have Fred Van Vliet coming up. Stuff like that. We have JFL Comics booked. I don't want to give away too many names because they might back out and then I'll be look like an idiot, as we've learned many times in this show. But every single morning, on the weekday mornings, they drop at 5 a.m. I record them late at night. It'll be some Yahoo Sports Canada people like Will Liu, Justin Cuthbert, people you know, as well as celebrities, athletes, people that are famous, just talking to me for 12 minutes in the morning. It's a lot of me talking, but it's also a lot of interviews with people that you normally wouldn't hear about. And it's been a lot of hard work, but I am proud of it. And it will continue to be hard work every day. But honest to God, being paid to do a podcast every day is a dream come true. So I am super pumped about it. And I'm happy that it's out and I can finally talk about it because I have been talking about it and working on it since June.
Damn, I knew this had been that long.
It's been wild.
Can I hear the 25?
I'll throw you some of them. There was there was one about women's hockey that was really good. There was one that I was like, damn, that should have gone out. Hmm. But there's also some really bad ones. Like the show used to be called Two Coffees. And it used to be formatted in reverse. I used to do the rundown about what the news was at the top. And we couldn't quite put a finger on why the show sucked. But it was because it was in reverse order. So we flipped it around. I'm happy with the format. But it'll always be tinkering. I'm always trying to get better. But it's a fun exercise in sort of making a point in 3 minutes and then tying it into a guest and then wrapping it up with a little bow and trying to find things. Yesterday's was about similarities between Marshawn Lynch and Kawhi Leonard, which there are more than you may think. So check it out every morning. Like I said, Yahoo Sports Canada. But First Sports, it's supposed to be your morning commute, little 15-minute as you walk from the subway or whatever it is you do.
It's a great idea.
Thank you very much.
Because I will say that is a criticism I have of, not a criticism, but a reason that I don't listen to a ton of podcasts.
As we enter
the second hour of the show.
70th minute of the show.
For me, not for everyone else. I know people like it. I get it. People love this. People can love whatever they want.
It is funny, though, because I will look at, for example, our opening spiel here. Before we had really made any points at all, I was like, my show would be almost over.
Sean's sitting there somewhere being like, if only.
Yeah. No, it's a fun challenge to work within those parameters.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
It becomes
a lot of self-editing, I assume.
Yes, it becomes an exercise in efficiency and in saying, as much as you can and in as few words as you can. And for that, I am very thankful for the time I spent performing comedy, because it allows me to be really efficient with my wording, as well as you may not know this, but my opening spiel is completely scripted every time.
Really?
100%. 100%. None of it is ad-libbed at any point other than the interviews. Anyway, I am not sad for that reason. Here comes Sun.
Oh, now I'm not sad.
Here comes the Sun.
Sunny for Delhi. I'll take that.
And Jake Oldsby, as you watch Spurs at the 73rd minute, are you sad or not sad?
I'm not sad. I feel like for a while on this show, there was sort of a running theme of me being sad because I didn't have a job.
Jake's work follies.
Yeah. So I've been working for the last couple of weeks, which is nice. I'm still waiting to be paid, but that's a whole other thing.
That is the best part of work.
Yeah. But it's nice to sort of having any sort of regular work has really sort of changed my mindset a little bit in the last couple of weeks about sort of everything else I do professionally, mainly like the idea of acting and like that question of like, am I wasting my life and fucking up my life, which is still obviously a question I have, but
of course.
I don't think that will ever go away regardless of what I'm doing. But it has lessened that
panic
and that blow a little bit of like, oh fuck, I haven't had an audition in 2 weeks. And I think I spent a lot of time in my life because of sort of the privilege I had as both a middle-class white person and also as someone who had worked and been paid well since they were 5 years old, of the idea of an honest day's work, so to speak. I think I used to be like, oh, I'm totally fine just sitting around playing video games all day, every day.
One day.
But I think I'm coming into this idea of like, yeah, work's not, and like the fact it's not super challenging work and it's not my main focus probably helps this as well. Mm-hmm. But it feels nice mentally sort of to have this idea of like, okay, I have a thing I'm doing. I have a thing to do every day. I'm still sort of learning how to incorporate work-life balance, I would say. Like, it's a job where I can kind of make my own schedule, but kind of not. And I haven't been great yet at figuring out how to do the job and also have like fit time to like cook dinner and like go to the gym and all those kind of things that I would do otherwise, which I think will just come with time and come with sort of figuring out my system and all that. But I think as someone who was sort of in a cloud for quite a few months because of this kind of stuff, to sort of at least have that lifted a little bit, even though like I'm still going to be living paycheck to paycheck and it's not going to make me rich or anything. But the fact there's a paycheck to be had to live between is
accomplishing a task.
Not going to bed being like, fuck,
right,
is nice.
Wonderful.
And I don't mind waking up as much as I thought I would. It's making me drink a lot more coffee, which...
you gotta love coffee.
Love coffee. Well, boy, oh boy. Someone get to that ball.
No handball there. Anyway, that is it for another episode. Thank you to Clay, Sean, and Dylan. Dylan for doing the actual work. Clay and Sean for doing the ideas. And for honestly hooking up Left Field Brewery, because this is sick.
Thank you to Left Field Brewery.
Thank you to Left Field Brewery for once again. Brewery of the month this month is Left Field Brewery. Honestly, I've never had a bad Left Field beer. I'm not just saying that because
I would agree with that.
Ooh,
Eric Lamalicum.
They are top level in this city in terms of independent breweries, and super pumped that they are a part of our show for the next month. As we said, two more beers, two more weeks. This week, with If You Hear Any Noise, a Black Forest Cake Sour, available now. Collaboration with the Society of Drinking Ladies. Proceeds from every can go to support the Canadian Women's Foundation. Thank you, everybody involved in that process. And our new intern in the booth, once again, we remember this time, is taking notes.
Still in there. I'm sweating.
It's a hot box.
It's got to suck in there.
Quite literally hot boxing. But we digress. Thank you, most of all, for listening to Sportsfeld.